At the center of why ISIS has caught on this time in Iraq is the activities or the actions of Prime Minister Maliki. And essentially, it's been, in the last several years in particular, his targeting of political opponents and alienation of large portions of the country that have given ISIS a very comfortable operating ground. I've heard Sunnis call Prime Minister Maliki the Shia Saddam. And so when it comes time for a major fight against extremists in the western part of the country, it's not a surprise that the elements of the Iraq army, who, by the way, in the north, there are major divisions comprised of largely Kurds and largely Sunnis, would not decide to fight to the death for a Shia prime minister who they see is opposed to them.
Was it clear, or maybe was there an idea that something like this could happen?
What's always been clear is the need for each of the identity groups in Iraq to have a major stake in the political process and a stake in using that political process to resolve differences. To the extent that any event in the country would take away from that, there have been concerns that this might escalate. I would say that if I were to put on a list the set of issues that could cause major instability not only in Iraq but in the region, right at the top of that would be Al-Qaeda and extremists taking and holding territory in the west and north, the Kurds outside of a political process, taking land centered around Kirkuk, again outside of a political process, and Iran sending soldiers and advisors into the south and into Baghdad. All three of those things happened in a span of 48 hours last week, and each one of those by themselves would have been tremendous triggers. And now I think we've seen that they've all happened at once. And by the way, with other very significant incidents in the Turkish embassy or position in Mosul, nearly 50 representatives were kidnapped last week as well, and additional Turkish citizens since. I would say that's now an incident involving diplomatic representation, probably the largest in the region since 1979, and yet that's being kind of pushed aside by other events. I would also say in Tikrit we had 1,700 Shia members of the Iraqi army allegedly massacred, and ISIS has demonstrated some evidence through photographic evidence. This is another significant event, and it's all happening at once.
U.S. is sending approximately 300 Green Berets as military advisors to the Iraqi National Forces, but there are already advisors from Iran there. And obviously working with the United Nations includes multiple different viewpoints. Do you have a sense of how that might play out with multiple advisors coming into play here?
Really, these military questions are irrelevant without also having this political component done right. There happens to be a good time to do that right now because the April 30th election has been certified, and by June 30th, there should be the new parliament should convene to elect the speaker and the president. The bad news is, when I was there in 2010, that process took 10 months. So I'm not going to hold my breath on this being resolved anytime soon. But that is precisely where the energy needs to be put, because without that, you won't be able to divide the extremist coalition that is together right now and essentially pull some of the tribal elements out to kind of take part in a political process that can then confront this problem from the center.
Does Baghdad stand a chance of falling to these insurgent forces?
For the time being, no. I think the clear difference between being able to take over territory in the west and north that are controlled by Sunnis versus taking over Baghdad, which is now predominantly Shia, some estimates are in the 75% to 80% range. I think that's not likely. But what is likely is essentially a stalemate. And we've seen this in Syria today. We've seen it in Lebanon in the 80s and Afghanistan in the 90s. And essentially that portends a prolonged, often bloody stalemate.
Does there need to be outside influence to come to some sort of solution in Iraq?
I mean, given this scenario of a stalemate, I think each side, whether it be Sunni regional supporters of Sunnis inside Iraq and Iran supporting Shia inside Iraq, each side seems concerned that the other could make advances, and therefore there's always an incentive to provide additional help. And you're right to point out that it's precisely why Secretary of State Kerry is going to the region to start to utilize those regional influences to impact the parties inside the country. In the short term, I am skeptical that Prime Minister Maliki would take the necessary political steps that would facilitate that any further. But he also must be aware of the fact that he can't confront this alone, and he needs help. And this, quite frankly, is where the U.S. Comes in. We still have some leverage given our aid, and we've now heard that increasingly there are calls to make sure that aid is contingent upon certain steps by the government.
Overall, how do you see this situation playing out?
Of course, we need to see what ISIS does next. And if they do start to make moves towards the south, where the Shia centers, religious centers are, I would say there would be a continued escalation, as Iran would not sit by while that happened. In the medium term, I think a stalemate is a likely outcome or a likely scenario. And in the meantime, we would have to hope that would at least buy the time for the necessary political steps, where members or where key political constituencies inside Iraq have the ability to come to some sort of an agreement that would allow progress against the current violence.